sang out a song of the soul.
And we'll sing this song. Why don't you sing along? And we can sing.
Music has an incredible ability to proclaim the soul's language beyond what mere words can speak. That is what we seek as we invite our guests to share their song of the soul. Be it joy and laughter, sorrow and tears, awe and insight, or deepest devotion, as we visit and listen, we are all part of a spiritual voyage called Song of the Soul. Michael Todd Fink and his brother founded the Giving Tree Band in 2004 with a powerful vision, including living communally and with strong environmental stewardship. While the music expresses through elements of folk, rock, country, bluegrass, and much more, the lyrics often come from and express deep truths and understandings. So it's no surprise when Todd released his contemplative collection, Lostlessness, Reflections on Impermanence, Glimpses of Forever, this past spring. Todd is and has been many things beyond just a musician and writer. Among them, a mindfulness meditation teacher, an addictions counselor, and a licensed psychotherapist. And did I mention he has been a Naperville TEDx speaker? This interview includes readings from the book and songs from the band's 7 releases, along with an astonishing array of thoughts and reflections. This broadcast version of the interview is lacking one song, a couple readings from the book, and inspirational discussions, which you'll find in the uncut podcast version on northernspiritradio.org. Great thanks to Andrew Jansen for production work today. Michael Todd Fink joins us today from his current home in New Mexico via Zoom. Todd, it's so great to have you here today for Song of the Soul.
I'm thrilled to be here. Yeah, thank you for having me, Mark.
I had to hesitate a moment because I know legally, I think your first name is Michael Todd, your middle name, Fink, your last name. Why Todd? Too many Michaels in the world?
Yeah, including my own family. I'm almost a junior to my father, but his middle name is Alan. So my whole life, I go by both Michael and Todd. I guess in professional spaces or when I'm in school and meeting people, it's usually Michael. But then after I've met people a couple times, then I welcome them to just call me Todd, which is like my nickname. Because I am very close to my family, very close to my dad, so it gets confusing pretty quickly whether they're talking about me or him throughout my life. So they could have named me Todd Michael, but I guess they didn't.
I'm guessing that, like me, you don't have a lot of shame controlling your life. In eighth grade, I had someone in my civics class, another student, whose name was Noe Finkenbinder. And this is the 1960s when Fink, Rat Fink, everything was common. You kept the name Fink, and that's got to have been a challenge at some point in your life.
You know, sometimes we reflect, my brother and I, that we probably could have just been the Finks or the Rat Finks. I do think there are bands like that now for our band name that would have been fun and would have also, I think, underscored our independent and outlaw approach to music and to the industry. But yeah, we kept it. I find it funny. I find the idea of a Fink pretty amusing. I enjoy it. And like you said, you know, shame doesn't factor in too much to my sense of self because I see the self-defeating nature in it. Like, I can feel guilty about things, or I really value accountability, but I almost feel like shame does a disservice to us and the people that we may harm consciously or unconsciously, because shame is like an internalization of failure is the way I think about shame. So yeah, interesting note there, Mark.
Well, let's mention a few things about the band. Again, the Giving Tree Band that you've been part of for a long time, what, 30 years or something. And you and your brother founded it, right?
That's correct.
The latest recording I saw from you is Your Frequency of Love, which I think was released back in 2017. You were in Illinois maybe at that time. You're in New Mexico. Straighten me out.
Well, I guess you could say it's a long hiatus. And I want to use the word hiatus because I would say we have about 3 near completed albums. And so we were still doing shows until COVID. And at that time, it didn't make sense. We were ready for a break anyway, and we were planning to take a break in 2020, oddly. And then when venues were closed and stuff, it was like, wow, good thing we didn't, you know, have a whole tour that we had to cancel, and roadies and staff and publicists that we'd have to be trying to get deposits back from or whatever. We've then kind of branched off into different things. And I wrote this book called Losslessness. I'd had all these poems kind of brewing during my music career. And I started focusing more on psychotherapy for the past few years. But I still consider it a hiatus, because I think when the time is right, we'll get back to these unfinished records and probably do some limited concerts as well. So maybe 4 or 5 years ago, my brother came out to New Mexico. We had always loved it out here. I'd kind of known that that would be important for me too. And so, yeah, my partner and I, she came out here with me, and we've been out here for over a year. And yeah, it just suits me being in the mountains, connecting with the community here, and being of service as a counselor out here has been really rewarding for me.
When did you get your MS, Advanced Clinical Social Work degree from Columbia? When was that?
Only a year ago.
Oh, okay.
I had been doing some counseling and group facilitation in hospitals. I was an addiction counselor before that. And that was also kind of my work in between tours. I had a long career at a hospital that just kind of held a position for me whenever I was in town. And I knew I had to kind of hold on to that or appreciate that, because that's a pretty rare thing to have a professional job that just lets you leave whenever you need to. But I think there was just a mutual respect and appreciation for what both parties could do for one another. And so it was kind of always in the back of my mind that I did want to go back to school and study clinical social work. My undergraduate work was in music and psychology. And as you know, like, I've always been interested in spirituality and consciousness, but I wanted to extend that out to social systems and have a little more training in the way environmental themes in society and on the planet influence the way that we think and the way that we behave. So that was kind of the inspiration for that. And since we weren't touring, I'm like, I can do this. I can fit this in. I was mostly doing it remotely and interning in Chicago. But I got it done a year ago.
Well, you know what? People are going to get impatient with me if I do not include your music. We have six of your songs we're going to share. But before we do that, I would like you to share. You get your choice. There's two passages from your book, Losslessness, by Michael Todd Fink, that I would like you to choose which one you'd like to share at this moment. Paradox of humility or religion is a language? Do you have a preference for that?
You know, since I was talking about humbling myself or trying to in India, maybe we do paradox of humility. This has a lot of religious undertones. So keep an open mind, everyone.
Or overtones. They can be.
Or overtones, not undertones. You're right. Overtones. Like in music, too, which means a lot of other notes in there, too, mixed in there. So paradox of humility. The miracles of Jesus do not alone define his story. For legends of virgin birth, healing, raising the dead, and other wonders appear in the lore of many avatars. Yet his immaculate humility is singular, in birth, in death, and in between, set apart from the pageantry of royal or martial incarnations. Many spiritual teachers then and now have not let the cups of influence and affluence pass without indulging, for the boundary is nebulous between the longing to save the world and the desire to rule it. True humility is rarer than walking on water. From Old French, humilité, to Sanskrit, bhumi, humility means nearness to the ground. Thus, the meek inherit the earth. Therein lies the paradox of renunciation and providence. Humility seldom debuts amid favor and praise. Conflict and brushes with intellectual arrogance serve as rough scrubs to buff out our humble potential.
Thank you so much for that one. You know, I've only read about 3/4 of the book, I have to confess, and that has to do with schedule.
That's how it's meant to be read, not front to back in you know, a few sittings, but backwards and forwards.
And it was written over the course of how many years?
Close to 10, because I just didn't have the time to dedicate to fully crafting it, but I had notes and notebooks on my computer, on my phone, and all different places. And then during COVID and when our band, you know, got off the road, that's when I started putting this together. A friend of mine suggested I print them all out. And I did. I printed them all out. I put them all over the room and I started going, wait, what's going on here? I didn't even know I was going to make a book at the time. I was just thinking there's something I could do with all of these song-like reflections or poems, but they're not going to be songs. And then I started noticing they go together in different ways. And there were 12 piles in the room. And I'm like, I got a book of 12 chapters here of reflections, a collection of poetic reflections.
I think I need to connect you up with Dwight Wilson. He lives in the Detroit area, and he, amongst other things, he's done a lot of things, but one of the things he's done is produce books that he calls Psalms.
Mm.
And he sometimes has a practice of writing them daily, but there's a whole lot of Psalms there I think you'd relate to greatly.
Sounds fascinating.
He is a Quaker up there that I happen to know, but he channels so much. And one of his passionate things that he does, there's a, I don't know, neonatal hospital near him. He goes in and he holds babies. That's a ministry of sorts that he does. Just, of course, it nurtures him and it nurtures the baby so often because they're intensive care with heart defects and all kinds of stuff.
And need affection. That's so important to how the lifelong psychology develops from the attachment and connection and security of a caregiver, after birth. Wow.
So I'll have to connect you up with Dwight, and you can also on northernspiritradio.org, just search for Dwight and Dwight Wilson, you'll find him and link up to that.
Appreciate the connection.
Anyway, thank you for Paradox of Humility, again from Losslessness by Michael Todd Fink. Our listeners here for Song of the Soul can track him down two ways easily enough, michaeltoddfink.com, or the band that he and his brother founded is thegivingtreeband.com. I'll have both those links on northernspiritradio.org. And right now, I think, Todd, we should go into some of your music. Which song would you like to start with?
How about Quiet Star?
Of course. I was trying to figure out what Quiet Star was. Part of my problem is I'm a physicist, too.
Well, then you may have more insight than me even on my song.
Part of the thing, I just saw some comment on this past week. It's in outer space. There is no air, so there is no sound. So, of course, they're all quiet. What are you talking about? But that's not obviously what you're referring to. And as soon as I heard Quiet Star, I was thinking Neutron Star. You could see the problems of being in my mind. What was the inspiration for leading that got you to Quiet Star?
Yeah, it was this play on words with sound and stars, that loud and quiet may refer to their luminosity. But in this case, I feel like so many of the stars in the sky for us are quiet because we don't listen to them. We don't pay attention to them, but they're there. And I started feeling like this was a good analogy for love. When the form is gone, there is still a subtle energy continuing. And the stars that we're looking at, from what we know of physics, many of them aren't there physically.
Anymore.
Right, anymore. But we still have access to their light in a quieter way, I would say. So that's what that means. And I think love, once shot out of the heart, it continues. Even if the form changes, even if the person is no longer with us, that light, I think, is still radiating and still touching lives and can still touch us. That was me also just making sense of loss and change and the reality that most of the people we love, we will lose. You know, we lose because of time, because of passings and so on. And many relationships, the romantic ones, they won't last either, not because people pass away, but because our paths diverge. Our streams merge for some time and then they have to go on their own way. But how to deal with that? You know, how can a person have a mental map that can help them feel at peace and accepting of that?
Right now, we're going to listen to Todd, or Michael Todd Fink, if you wish, and the Giving Tree Band as they share the song Quiet Star.
Like a quiet star, I want to shine on everyone with nothing to call my own. All I can give is the light of my love. I know that it will shine on and reach your heart long after I'm gone. 'Cause I know that seen you, it's hard to explain. I know what we've been through is part of the game. The way that we feel is exactly the same. Please don't be sad when I leave on that train. Like a quiet star. Oh, the light of my love will always remind me. I shine here and there, but you reflect the light back so well. Like a pond that's clear and still, in you I see myself. So I smile from ear to ear, the way one plays in front of the mirror. 'Cause I know that I dreamed you, it's hard to. All that's old seems to be new once again. The way that we feel is exactly the same. Please don't be sad when I leave on that train. Please don't be sad when I leave on that train. Please don't be sad when I leave on that train. Like a quiet star. Like a quiet star. Oh, the light of my love will always remain.
Hope you love Quiet Star as much as I do. Todd chose that to be part of his Song of the Soul sharing here today. Our website again is nordenspiritradio.org, and on there you'll find links to Michael Todd Fink and the Giving Tree Band's album Vacilador back in 2012 that was released. Vacilador, I think you have too many languages in your head. I see you mentioning Old French, for instance, and multiple other languages, Eastern languages. What, 7, 8 languages in your head? What is it?
Well, I'm only fluent in one, but I studied Sanskrit when I was in India. I have studied Spanish throughout my life, and my mom is Mexican, and my grandparents were from Mexico. I lived with them and my great-grandmother from Mexico for some years growing up. So Spanish was a little more a part of my childhood, and it's not really part of daily life anymore. So I don't have any command of it anymore. But after learning Sanskrit, my teacher taught me how to read and write Sanskrit. And that came kind of naturally because it's very intuitive and very consistent, unlike English. You know, a letter always makes that same sound. And I became just very fascinated with etymology after that, which is sometimes the way I engage with etymology is healing our words. We need a lot of healing, and our words need a lot of healing to understand how to actually, you know, express ourselves in a thoughtful way, in a holistic way. When we can know more about a word even, and so words travel through other languages. Most of our English words, some of them go back to Sanskrit. I mean, think of words that have om in them, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. I have no mastery over that, but I would say it's a hobby of mine to trace words back in time and then come back to the present time and see what else can be understood about ourselves, about our journey, and about the evolution of civilization. Vacilador was chosen by my brother for an album title. He loves Steinbeck, and Steinbeck used that word. I think it first appears in Travels with Charlie. Vacilador is a word for a wanderer it loosely connects to vacillate, but it doesn't have a counterpart in English. And I really like that about certain words. I mean, some languages, and I talk about this in the book too, some languages say things so well and better than any other language can that the whole world just uses that. That didn't happen with vacillador, but some other words that come to mind are like déjà vu. We just say déjà vu in French because there's no other term in any other language, not English or any other language, that captures it so well. Or karma. I mean, karma is one of the most difficult Sanskrit words to translate into English because it's so deep and so all-encompassing of how human life and the divine interact. So vacillador is like a wanderer, trickster, jokester. But here's, I think, how Steinbeck described it. It's when somebody goes on a quest and they don't find the thing they were looking for, but what they do discover ends up being more valuable than the fountain of youth or whatever they thought their treasure was. And that felt, you know, apropos for us.
I want to mention to our listeners for Song of the Soul that there's two versions of this program you'll find out there. There's one for broadcast on radio stations, which will be 55 minutes long. But there's also going to be an uncut version of this interview that you can access via our RSS feed on northernspiritradio.org. I imagine our Song of the Soul listeners are going to be impatient if they want to get to your music. Now, again, there's music and there's this book, Losslessness, that I want to share both. So therefore, I will have an uncut version on the northernspiritradio.org website, on our RSS feed and so on. But I would like to go on to another of your songs right now.
Sure thing. Thanks for holding space for both sides of my soul.
Where should we start for your second song?
About my time in the river.
Are you a swimmer as well?
I've swam a decent amount in rivers with the band and bathed in a lot of rivers to save on truck stop showers and hotel rooms. So yeah, I've had more than what is fair swims in the fresh bodies of water, because I wish it for everybody, and the pollution makes it harder too, so.
Well, I was thinking about that. There's so many rivers where you wouldn't go in there to get clean, you'd go in to get dirty. But the household that you and the band lived in was ecologically focused. You were trying to live lower on the food chain, lower on the energy usage domain, all of these things. The river here, one of the songs I love is by Peter Mayer, says, God is the river. And in the song, it talks about someone clinging to a boulder. But that God is the river is what the person is ignoring, right? And when you get too attached to your dogma and so on. What are you writing My Time in the River about?
Well, my brother was the lead songwriter on this, and I was writing banjo and other parts for it. But I love it because there's a quote from an ancient Greek philosopher, Heraclitus, which is, you can't step into the same river twice. The river's not the same, and you're not the same. Everything's always changing. The beauty of this song, I think, is not realizing when you're in the river. I worked with a doctor in Illinois, Dr. Martin, who would often say to me, these are the good old days. You just don't know it yet, you know? And that's what I think of with My Time in the River. It's later in the catalog. It's from Frequency of Love, the last studio album. And I think by that time, we were appreciating, we're not going to be able to do this like this forever, but we're still in it. We're still in it. So it was good that this song helped orient us to, maybe the number of concerts we have left can be counted on two hands. You know, I'm hoping there'll be other runs, but that time was nearing an end, and yet we're still in the river. So if we can really appreciate this, maybe this will be the best part of our time together, because we actually know what it means. We know how precious it is to be in one boat while we are. So that's what I really found powerful about the song. And I think everybody can relate to that. That's the thing. It's not like you have to be in a band to know this is your time in the river. Like I said, rock and roll is a young man's game, but that's true with a lot of things, you know, that's true with a lot of careers where you want to stay up all night for it, you know, whether it's in law or medicine or writing or service, your body and family or whatever won't be conducive to that forever. So whatever it is that lights you up and knowing when like you're really riding the rapids, it is worth being able to take a moment to appreciate that you did it and who you did it with. Yeah, thanks.
Well, I'm afraid we're getting away from the song that we need to listen to, and that is My Time in the River. It's co-written by our guest for Song of the Soul today, Todd Fink, and his brother, E. Here is My Time in the River.
My time in the river was cloaked in mud, but still it rose to a raging flood. And I let go and I might drown. Just claim my body when I'm found. Just claim my body when I'm found. Give me one more time before I go. Give me one more chance before I change. Give me one more way to love you so.
That you Song of the Soul listeners are getting some peace of mind, even though E. Fink, when you co-wrote that song with his brother Todd, he said he can't get no peace of that peace and quiet. I actually figured that that song will lead you to that peace and quiet. Sometimes you got to ride down the rapids to get to the calm points in the river. But our guest today is Michael Todd Fink. He is part of the band called The Giving Tree Band, And their website is thegivingtreeband.com. His personal website is michaeltoddfink.com. You'll also find his podcast, Kind Mind, out there. You'll find his book, Lostlessness, which was just released in June of this year, 2026. I'll have links to all of that on northernspiritradio.org. And I hope you come by and leave a comment when you do. But just keep in mind, I've got these links and these programs going all the way back 21 years to when I started doing both Song of the Soul and Spirit in Action. So come to northernspiritradio.org and track all those things down. There's gems there. Most of our programs are evergreen. They're not just programs of the moment. They're something more the eternal sea that we swim in. So please do join us there. And leave comments when you visit. Also, keep in mind that we're circulated two different ways. So today's program is going to have two different versions for our broadcast on our 38 or so stations that broadcast our programs across the U.S., and you'll have the version that comes via our RSS feed and on our website, which will be longer, uncut. You can check out both of those via our website. Please support those local community radio stations. It's so wonderful to have alternatives. I was just reading an article this morning that made me very disappointed with some of the big media conglomerates. Of course, they've always had control to squelch some things that didn't match the message they want to give and what makes their profit soar. So please keep in mind that by having alternatives like community radio or having other such alternate sites, it's extremely valuable. Support them with your wallet and with your pocket. You can support NordenspiritRadio.org via our website as well. We love it any way that you can help out. And in Quaker speak, we talk about holding someone in the light. That's a perfectly good way to support. Donations help, ideas for guests we should be talking to, all of that. It's all valuable, and whatever you have to contribute will be a wonderful gift. Again, we're with Todd, and we're going to dive right into another of his songs right away, just so I make sure we can get in all six. What's next?
How about One Life at a Time?
I'm all for it. This one, of course, you know, this is on, I think, your first album you released, Unified Folk Theory.
It's our first album, first song, first recording, first song that we did as a band, first line of all our music.
It's wonderful. You know, out of the seven releases that you've had as a band, you talked about at some place, I forget where it was, you talked about the evolution as you're refining your technique. You learn how to put things together better. But this is from the first, so you're starting from the very beginning. Aren't you embarrassed to have your rough cut gem, uncut gem here or there? Or is that the point?
It's kind of the point. I mean, maybe after this one, we'll do one that I feel is like the most polished gem. And this one, it's just like picking and grinning. But the first line of the first song of the first album, it still stands out to me as beautiful. You lost your calculations and you lost your math. All your makeup and your history came off in the bath. I'm just so proud. I didn't come up with that. One of our bandmates did, but then we all wrote together from there. I'm just so proud of that as the opening line of our time in the river, so to speak. Because that's really what it's all about, like from dust to dust, from ashes to ashes, from dust to dust. The empires have come and gone. You know, I was doing a conversation the other day or a workshop about social media and finding our place there, or being creative there. And I was saying, like, it's all going to the dustbin. You know, some of our videos from early social media were in like 360 or something like that, and people can't even watch that anymore. You know, when we convert to holograms and holographic social media, two-dimensional video will just be like, nobody can watch that anymore. So no matter what we do, you know, it's going to be outdated. I think if we can make an impact on our communities and our culture, or maybe leave some vestiges of wisdom or inspiration, then yeah, we've contributed a verse, like Robin Williams said in Dead Poets Society. And that's what this song was about. Like, and that's what I think was cool is just like, before we even started, already for some reason singing about it all gets washed away by time anyway. So that was good, I guess, just to get going and already not be taking ourselves too seriously.
One idea that you gave me as you were speaking, I realized that one of the beautiful statements that we've said is we are all stardust, right? Mm-hmm. Literally, the elements of our body were parts of stars.
Right.
That's a beautiful image, but it's like, yeah, we're from the dustbin. We're put together from the dustbin. So you can take it positive or negative as you wish. Just which chair you're sitting in makes you look differently at it or leads you to look differently at it. But that's what we learn one life at a time.
For me, it's go for it, you know, because of what you just said. It's all going to go back to the dustbin. So what's the real risk, you know, if it's something true to your heart?
Here is One Life at a Time by the Giving Tree Band from their album Unified Folk Theory, One Life at a Time.
And you lost your mind. All your makeup and your history came off in the bath. They came off in the bath. You threw away your compass and you threw away your mind. Tell me, do you need a guide? Travel in these lands, we travel in these lands. Cause if we tied some logs together, we could build a raft, we can build a raft. Empires were built by kings oh so long ago. And then they were destroyed again. Why we do not know. Said why we do not know. Once people rode on horses, now they live under the stars. We'll read of them in history, not knowing who they are. Not knowing who they are. Mysteries of life will boggle the mind. We've been traveling this universe one life at a time, one life at a time. Well, the mysteries of life will boggle the mind. We've been traveling this universe one life at a time. Said one life at a time. Of life will boggle the mind. We've been traveling this universe one life at a time, one life at a time.
Michael Todd Fink is with us here today for Song of the Soul, the band that he and his brother co-founded some 30 years ago, more than 30 years ago, is the Giving Tree Band, website thegivingtreeband.com. That song was on their first album, Unified Folk Theory, One Life at a Time. I wonder how different you are after these 30 plus years. That the band, I think, was founded some 20 plus years ago, 2004. I'm wondering how different you are as a person over those 22 plus years that you've been making music, creativity. It's not just, I almost hesitate to say you were just making music, because it's so clear that you're making, I would call it ministry. You're communicating with the earth, you're changing yourself. You're leading a communal wisdom travel. I mean, I could say all different ways, and to just put it into notes, like the wonderful notes in One Life at a Time, is just shorts it. And a lot of A lot of musicians are just after making the tune. And I don't think that means they're poor. I think that means it's a different objective than you have. How have you changed over those decades?
I think I've changed a lot. I think the experiences that I've had and the pursuit of dreams has, transformed my life, my heart, my mind. I feel much more at peace with just the life that I have. And I don't feel this overwhelming sense of pressure or ambition, but it took that energy to kind of relax into acceptance of myself, my successes, my failures. I'm a much more grateful person. I deeply appreciate the people in my life, my family, my loved ones, and that I got to do this with my own brother. It's just such a great gift. And coming back to One Life at a Time, as a therapist also, I really see the whole universe in every individual. Tolstoy once said in a short story, the most important person in the world is the person before you. So right now, you're the most important person in the world to me, Mark. And it took time because when you're ambitious in music or anything, you're always looking past people who deserve your whole heart and your whole presence in that moment. They came to the concert. They came up to talk to you. They want this CD signed, or they wanted to share something with you. That's the whole reason I was doing it, but it takes some time to be able to, it's not even slowing yourself down because it's an illusion that you're in some kind of race. So being able to appreciate the fractal universe, every day is a whole life, every person is the whole universe, and every piece of nature is everything. Everything is everything. Every rock is a whole mountain. Every life form is beautiful and precious and reveals a message from Mother Nature. So that's how I continue to grow from all these experiences. Helps me to be more present, more grateful, and more accepting of where I've been and wherever I have yet to go.
You know, folks, that I've got a radio version of this, which is only 55 minutes, but in the extended version, will include a lot more. Let's go on to another song now.
Let's do Glow.
And why Glow?
Since we are talking about our evolutions and our path of maturity over time as artists, as people, Glow is a sort of response or maturing of Quiet Star. So these two kind of form a circle where I feel like I understand that theme better in Glow. So yeah, we'll see what people think when they listen.
Go straight into it. Glow.
It glows all the love that you made. It grows all the love that you gave. Same high, but nothing tastes the same twice. You don't need a new scene, all you need are new eyes. Good enough ain't good enough. Love like the sun, burn it bright and shine. Soon I roll back to New Orleans and miss you too. Now go do what
what you love and love what you do. The gaper gets the good glaze. The hero faces friction. We can make the winter. Let's spark a revolution.
Michael Todd Fink, and performed with The Giving Tree Band. Website, thegivingtreeband.com. Linked, of course, on nordenspiritradio.org. I have multiple thoughts and reactions to that one. First of all, when the song started, I had an idea it was just general, but all of a sudden you're talking about California and Sedona, New Orleans, and all of a sudden it got kind of concrete in terms of travels. And then you have the next verse of the song, which I don't even know what the words are. The gaper gets the good glaze. I don't know what that means.
I'm not even sure I know what it means, but it's sort of like Man in the Arena by Teddy Roosevelt. Are you familiar with that?
No, I don't think so.
It's basically like the people in the stands who aren't in the arena, they have it a lot easier. It's so much easier to be on the sidelines judging somebody's work. But if you're going to make the work, you're going to get criticized. Yeah, you're going to be made fun of. It's not going to be people's cup of tea. And you got to be strong enough to be able to say, well, that doesn't mean I should turn back just because it offends these people or it's not good enough for these people. Sometimes those people are really close to you and it hurts. But they're gapers, gaping, like looking, you know, but not just looking, just like people really get pretty into things they don't like. It's funny. So there's that. And it's just a reminder for people who are in the arena to know when you have to tune the noise out.
There's so much included in this one song, and it's from your latest album, which back in 2017 released Frequency of Love. Good enough ain't good enough. And there's some people who are shame-based who are going to take that as, oh my God, I'm crap. And there's others of us who know that there is light that we're all part of, that we're reflections of, that we're redirectors of, that kind of thing, who know we can inspire to be part of the whole light, that we can see ourselves that way. When you wrote Good Enough Ain't Good Enough, what were you saying?
Well, I guess what I'm getting at with that is when it comes to God or awakening or realization, there's no halfway with it. There's no splitting it up where it's like, well, I'm a pretty good person. It's like, no, you have a dark side until you fully illuminate your shadow. You know, until a person really lets like God in their heart or truth in their heart, you can't trust yourself. And so that's what I meant, love. But the sun is shining 360 degrees up, down, left, right, and all the directions. So there's no shadow anymore for the sun. That's the point where it's like, I guess what I'm saying here is if you don't got it, you don't got it yet. So keep going. When it comes to this, when it comes to true love and divine love, this is about being able to rise from personal love, romantic love, attached love, controlling love to divine love.
That in mind, I'm feeling impatient because I have to go pick up my wife in a while. Give us one more song.
Let's wrap it up with Live Love, which I think is the culmination of everything we've been talking about today. But one key piece in Live Love is forgiveness. I would say in my therapy work, I often tell clients half the journey is self-acceptance. And I think of self-acceptance as the hardest kind of forgiveness, being able to forgive ourselves, to accept ourselves, not to shame ourselves, to bring this full circle mark. And that's what Live Love is about. Though sometimes we have to forgive what we thought was love. what we sometimes call love is really fear, is really control, is really attachment. And we may need to forgive that too, or forgive ourselves for any of the ways we try to box love in or limit love.
Thank you so much. I mean, for the writings of Losslessness, for your Naperville TEDx, for your rich music that you've done with the Giving Tree Band, all the links are on NordenspiritRadio.org. It's so great to have you here. I wish I could actually sit for a couple hours more.
Me too.
But it's been wonderful, and people can hear the extended version of this interview via NordenspiritRadio.org. Thanks so much, Todd.
Thank you, Mark. What a pleasure to be with you today.
And also remember to check out his podcast, Kind Mind, which you can find via his website, michaeltoddfink.com as well. All the links on NordenspiritRadio.org. We'll see you next week for Song of the Soul. Here is Live Love.
Like a starlight breaking through the twilight, I could find myself, I could find. Listen.
The theme music for Song of the Soul is by Chris Williamson, and it is called Song of the Soul. Check out all things Song of the Soul on northernspiritradio.org, guests, links, stations, and a place for your feedback, suggestions, and support. Send your Songs of the Soul to me, Mark Helpsmeet, via the info on our website, and join us weekly for Song of the Soul.